Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. Hey.
Okay, I'm just going to do a little song.
Okay, you go ahead. Will you quit tapping in my ear?
Tap, 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 tap. Are we on? Are we rolling? Hi, guys. Welcome back to Straight Candid Podcast, where we take pride in normalizing taboo conversations.
Whoop.
In fact, today we
it's quite the taboo conversation.
Yeah, because we're talking about vaginas.
Vaginas, vulvas, you name it. We're talking about it. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Is that making you uncomfortable? Too bad. If you're
so
listening,
sad.
You either have one or you, you know, no, I was going to say something.
You either
really
have
bad,
one or you want
like,
one.
Or you want one. I was going to say that. And then I'm like, well, maybe you don't want one. But they're here. They're not going anywhere,
yeah,
whether you like it or not.
I would say some men definitely don't want one. Some of our friends, for sure.
Yeah, they definitely don't need it. We have an OBGYN coming on. I won't even intro her, but I'm very excited. I feel like there's so many things to learn.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm not educated in that area at all, and I have one.
Yeah.
I have a vagina.
Yes. Yeah. Have you ever sat down and just looked in the mirror at your own vagina?
No, because I don't really like... I don't like to make eye contact.
I know.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, I don't want to know.
That is so funny. But yeah, that's honestly why I feel like we need to have this conversation is because when I was younger, I was more along the lines of like, don't look at it. Don't even like pretend it's not there. I don't know what's down there. I don't even want to know what's down there. It looks weird. It looks funky.
Well, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, there is a lot of things going on.
Like when. Okay, when I, you know, it was time, I got my period, all those things, you know, sorry, boys, they're probably like, Jesus, but guess what? This episode's not for you. It's for our lady friends.
No, so. I was going to say, boys, stick around because
we will.
This is actually especially for you too, because you probably don't know much about the female anatomy down there either.
It's healthy to learn about the other people's parts.
Yes.
Like it's, if you have anything to do with them, like you are going to want to know these things. Like
exactly.
It's a human nature. It's part of our bodies. But when I got my period and I... had to use a tampon for the first time, I did not know where it was supposed to go.
Did you put it in
your
butt?
I had no idea. No, I didn't put, I knew it wasn't supposed to go back there, but I thought you put it in the pee hole.
Oh yeah.
I had
no
idea. I didn't know. So I was like, it's not fitting. Like,
well, that's also because it depends when you hit puberty. So
yeah, right.
Like I remember hitting puberty way later than everyone else. So I knew everything about what I was supposed to do. My friends were like, oh yeah, it goes here, goes here. But I remember just struggling like to figure out how
it
works.
Hard. I didn't know. I feel like I just didn't know anything about it. Like even when you became sexually active, you're like, well, I heard this and I read this in a weird little book that my parents gave me or whatever. Like, I mean, you don't know anything. I mean, and we probably, all of us are guilty of it. We probably don't go to the doctor enough to ask questions or, and when we go, we're probably a little bit timid because the doctor's weird and you're like legs open under a weird little tarp, like scary and you don't have all the questions in your head.
And that's exactly why we're talking about this because like, this is something I would sit on the couch and chat with my friends about.
Oh yeah.
And if you know me, you know, I probably have talked about your vagina. Like we talk about vaginas all the time. Like I'm pretty sure me and my friend compared vaginas last weekend.
What,
like
really?
Yeah. We're like, hey, what's yours look like? Oh, this is what
okay,
mine
but
looks
I'm
like.
I've asked my friends like, what is yours like? Because I don't.
Did I've seen your vagina.
No, I think I asked
it
you
was
too.
Me.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Well, what's yours like? It's so weird. It's like you're on the playground. You're like, so, what is yours like? Like,
is yours like tucked up?
You're so awkward.
Is it like tucked up or is it like, you know, a little tucked out? Like any outie? Like what's the vibe? So
anyway,
guys, it's a little awkward, but that's why we're talking about it. Because like even when I was younger in middle school, high school, like you didn't really have an OBGYN yet. It was more of your primary care doctor, right?
Just a primary care doctor.
And I remember just how awkward it was. And I was just telling Andrew, our producer today on the way here, that
poor Andrew.
Yeah. Andrew is sitting in on this episode today, guys, and he's just already like
oh,
looking
God.
At his feet.
Like he's like biting his shirt. He's like nervous. His little fingers are moving really fast.
But I was like, yeah, my primary care doctor in middle school and high school was my friend's mom.
Oh,
so it's so weird, like the relationship with your OBGYN doctor. Like you got to make sure it's someone you trust. And I will never have a dude.
No,
I need the female.
Yeah,
you have a female.
I've gone to a few, to be honest, because I had like healthcare through the U of M. Mm-hmm. But I mean, these conversations are weird. But it's like this is what we're here for. We're gonna answer the questions that you sent in, ones that we've come up with. Guys, stick around because we've got a bunch that are for you too, and just like general knowledge of the body parts.
Yeah.
So
a topic that we're gonna talk about is what men need to know about vaginas. So
because
female body. Yeah, because you do need to know, and men are curious as well. But let's talk about a little bit like how we know Sarah and why she's coming on.
Yeah. Sarah, I know, and I think it's the same exact reason that you know her from Alter, working out at Alter, the gym that I teach at.
And speaking of being comfortable with your OBGYN, now I will never be able to go see Sarah. Like, she's not going to be able to spread my legs and give me a pap smear because
that's not how you knew her first.
No, I'm sitting on the couch with her first, working out with her. So
you're like, hey,
yeah,
I'm coming in next week. And you're like having a casual conversation. So how was your weekend?
Yeah.
I don't know.
By the way, I think I have a pH imbalance. Like,
sorry, I got some situation going on down there. I hate when they try to make small talk and you're like on the table, you're doing a pap smear. Guys, you're like, ew, don't even talk about it. Well, guess what? We have to live it and things happen and it's uncomfortable. And they're like, so how's your week?
Yeah.
Are you seeing anyone currently? I'm like, shush. You're down there doing some business and it's freaking weird.
Do you use condoms? Is there any is there any other play going on down there? Like what kind of, where'd you graduate? Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, me too. I'm like, same college. Do you know me? And you know my friends?
Daughter is actually in your class. Oh my God. And you're
I had the same professor. Like just weird.
Too much. General topics though, really quick, you guys, we're going to hit on orgasms, the female anatomy, UTIs, STDs, IUDs. I always forget that one. And then vaginal health in general. Yeah. So get freaking ready.
Get
ready. Real quick, we have straight candid moments that we need to hit on.
Yeah, let's hit this.
Bitch.
Can I see your phone?
Of course
also,
you
go first.
Do you want me to go first? Mm-hmm. Also, we're recording in my new home, which is kind of weird. It feels weird. It's like it's a completely different space. If you are not on video, you should go check out YouTube because it looks completely different. We've got a clean white wall behind us. Things are coming together. There's still boxes, but beautiful things are coming. And we now have a neon light guy. So that tells you anything.
Yeah, it's awesome because our other studio was just your living room and your roommates would walk in here and there. But we have a whole freaking room dedicated to the studio. So it's about to be decked out right now. We're making with what we have and it's actually perfect.
Listen,
so
I got here 2 days ago, people. So
yeah, I love it. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Okay, straight canon moment this week. Cinefer.
Real quick. So obviously I moved this weekend. A lot of manual labor. My dad came to help me move my bed, which was so nice. And Jordan let me use his truck. And I was like, thanks, Jordan, you're the bomb. Thanks, Dad, you're the best. So my dad's like, we need to put the mattress in a mattress bag. And I'm like, I've never seen that before, but whatever. Keeps it clean. I'm like, great idea.
We haul
the mattress out. We put the entire bed on the back of the truck. Obviously you can't close it. So we wrapped it up like really good. Like, I mean, you've got things going across and sideways on the top, over the top, whatever. We're giddy. We're like, yes, I'm fully moved out.
Almost like the way Sarah would say to put a condom on. You wrap it up real
nice. Wrap it up real nice and tight. Okay. Then we're driving on 62, okay? I went a little pedal to the metal, okay? I will admit I was driving likely too fast for a mattress to be on the freaking top of your car or whatever, in the back of the car. And I went down a little hill and a little gust of wind came and that little tiny gust of wind actually took the mattress right off the back of the truck and on to 62 where it completely stopped traffic. I swear on my life, this happened Saturday morning at 8 a.m. I'm literally on the phone with my mom. I go, oh my God. Oh no. Oh no. Oh my God. Oh my God. And I'm like, and I'm looking in my rearview mirror, slowing down. I don't know what to do.
Dude, that would have been
like a ran it over.
Accident. Yeah.
Oh yeah. My dad ran it over and then like traffic just, you could see the traffic just totally stopping behind me. And I was like, oh my God, dude, and then my first thought is like, did I hurt somebody? Like, is someone going to get in a crash? Whatever. Can't exit for three exits on 62 where we were. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So I keep driving. We pull off. My dad comes behind me. He's wheezing laughing. I'm like, Dad, no, it's not funny. Like, I'm panicked. I'm shaking.
I can see Marty.
And it's like, we're not going to get it. I'm like, yes, we are. What are you talking about? He's like, what? And stop traffic again? You're kidding me. You're crazy. This pickup truck comes by and he goes, hey, did you guys lose the mattress? He totally could tell it was me. He probably thought I like tied it up with some floss or some shit to keep it on the car. And he's like, I put it on the median. So if you want to go get it, go get it. But like, nobody's hurt. There's no accidents. And I was like, okay, great. My dad wouldn't let me go get it. So there, either someone is blessed with a new mattress or there's a mattress on 62. Some homeless dude. Yes, that mattress is mine. Okay.
Some homeless dude is real happy right now.
He's really happy.
That's awesome.
I mean, and there's people that pick those up, but I was so mad at my dad anyway. So long story short, lost a mattress.
Long story long.
Lost a mattress. Hey, quit doing that. You always do that. She rips on my stories every single time I tell a story.
I think that was the best drink in a moment I've ever heard.
Oh my Atlanta. You go ahead. Go with your shit.
I don't really have, like, I was just going to say, according to our last episode, I feel like the guys on Hinge have picked up the game, man.
I know. People have been like sending in what they've updated. I'm like, okay.
I think the talk about Hinge kind of got me back on Hinge a little bit more because I'm having more fun now, like judging people's profiles.
Okay. Just to clarify, there was someone who's like, what's wrong with having religion on there? There's absolutely nothing wrong with having religious on there.
It's my preferences.
It's a personal preference. Like, so those just
are,
know that.
Those are my immediate swipe no's. Some people's immediate swipe no's are the fact that you're not religious. Like,
and some people swipe yeses are the fish picks and the hunting picks. Exactly. That's fucking cool. That's good. That's your background. Who cares?
But this was our opinions. Yeah. Take a joke.
Hey, all is well, everybody. We're not judgmental.
And I liked your straight cannon moment. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mine's not great at all. I'm literally just going to read a DM that someone sent me.
Okay. What is this? Because I don't know what this is.
Okay. So this person must have saw me on Hinge. So they found me then on Instagram. And instead of sending a Hinge DM, because they probably know I don't.
He's commented on something. It was an Instagram DM. But
and this is the DM.
Okay.
I've never received anything like this, which is why it deserves a reply, to be honest.
It says you haven't responded, though.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't yet. It's very unique. You know, we talked about that in the previous episode, which you have to go listen to if you need girls to respond to or men to respond to your messages.
Read and weep, baby.
Here's a poem I wrote. He says, I might fuck this up because I'm it's a little rocky.
What?
Your space? ? Let me start over.
Why are you reading it so slow?
Okay, I'm going faster. I'm ready. Your space? Didn't mean to infringe. I'm shook. Doing this is hella cringe. But I can't deny I dug your vibe when I saw you on Hinge.
Okay.
Okay. Now I'm almost done and I'm getting the spins. I expect an L because it's not always wins. Even Dwayne the Rock didn't constantly pin. Ay, I'm sorry. You know what? I'll wrap it up. I'm a weird dude who likes the outdoors and stuff. So if you want, feel free to hit me back. I'll pick you up in the truck, towing a kayak.
Is that it?
And then the number.
Oh my God, you're kidding me. Then what did he say after?
And then he said, that was lame, but coffee next week. Let me know when you're available during the week. If not coffee, bring your squad to my friend's place and come hang outside for a little yard party. Oh, yard party.
Oh my God. Wow.
But how
that
funny
is pretty good.
Pretty impressive.
I'm not gonna lie, that shows you took a lot of time, a lot of effort, likely out of pen and paper. And hey, I'm for it.
And
I'm for it.
I also, if we look through our straight canon DMs, girls have been sending screenshots of people sliding in with good Hinge responses now.
Yes.
And there are some really good ones. So
people are clever. I'm
nice job, guys.
All I'm saying is effort goes a lot further than anything else. So give a little effort and freaking dive right in.
Yeah, I love it.
Without further ado, I say we bring on Sarah, you guys meet her, and let's get your questions answered.
Yay! Whee! Let's do it. We're coming in hot. We got Sarah in the red hot pants.
Sarah's here.
Hey.
These are awesome.
Oh my God.
You look good.
Why I put these on today, I don't know.
Tell us why you picked the red pants.
It is my favorite color for one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I do hide a lot underneath my white coat, but this is kind of the moment.
This is your vibe.
This is it.
Make
this
sure
is
you
right
use
here.
That like you're singing into a microphone. Like,
okay.
Get it up
know,
in there.
Right. I know. Right? It feels
here
close, but it's not close. Ooh. Sarah, who are you? Can you give us a little bit of who you are?
And I
the heck you're here?
Yeah. I am Sarah Mane. I have been in practice for 18 years.
Oh my God.
I am 49.
I was just going to say how long because you don't look
I'm sorry, but I.
What?
I thought you were maybe 30. I'm dead serious.
I am 49 years old. I work for a company called Oakdale OBGYN in private practice. And
I think that's in network for me.
It may be. Lucky. It may be in network. And we actually do all of our OB deliveries, which is part of my large part of my practice over at Maple Grove Hospital.
Yep. Okay, got it. Amazing. Yeah. 18 years.
That's 18 insane. Years.
So you know your stuff.
I know.
You know your stuff.
I know a lot.
Yes. I mean, she definitely does. This morning we were we were texting Sarah. We were on this little group chat, you know. So what are we going to do? What's today going to look like? She goes, all right, got to go. Got to go do my cesarean C-section.
We're like, oh, what? Okay. Talk to you later when you come on our podcast. Like, what the heck? She's got to go do some, you know, bring some life into the world. Yeah. We're over here just like, okay.
Tell us what that entailed this morning.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
So this was a woman who was on her third C-section.
Oh my.
But she was also what we call advanced maternal age. So an older woman over 40. And she had these growths on her uterus called fibroids, which common in some women. In Black women in particular. And it was just completely different anatomy and a lot more risk of bleeding. And the baby was hard to get out. Like it was tough.
Oh my God.
But the baby was out. It went great.
But everything. Perfect. Okay. Perfect. Amazing.
Wow. Yeah. It was good.
So you like got through that challenge and it was like the best start to your day probably.
Yes, absolutely.
Sarah gets to bring life into the world. Like I'm just like,
what were we doing while she brought life into the world?
But remember, I texted you both and I said, my day is about babies and vaginas.
Yeah.
All day.
All day, every day.
All day, every day.
Exactly why you fit perfectly into coming on the Straight Candid Podcast.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we talk taboo.
Yeah. We talk taboo. We are taboo. Sarah's listened to us too. But you guys, we brought Sarah on, like we said in the intro, to learn. We want to learn. Like we have these four different sections that I briefly listed off, but the most important piece is female anatomy. And that's where we're going to kick things off right away, dive right in. Can I kick it off by asking you what does a normal vagina look like?
Well, I got to say, everyone's vagina is different. It's like a fingerprint. So I got to we have to get the terminology right. So I'm going to talk about the terminology and that's important. So
do you need me to hold this?
Yes, please.
Perfect.
So here is the vagina.
If you're not on YouTube, she's showing her her hands making a vagina.
So I'm just making a vagina with my fingers and here's the vagina. Okay. And then what's on top, the loose skin and the lips. So that's what we all know is the labia minora. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then there's fat right around the lips. So right around here. And that's called the labia majora.
Okay.
So the entire thing, the labia minora, the majora, the opening to the vagina, that's called the vulva. Yes,
good
girl.
Good job, so cookie for you. Cookie for you.
Do I get an A?
You get an A.
Yay!
In vulvar anatomy.
Yes! Okay.
So if anyone says vagina, technically it's not the vagina. The opening. The vagina is the opening.
Just that piece.
That's just that piece. So one thing that I hate is everyone calls their private parts vagina. Well, it's not
even
vagina.
In books.
It's in books. So it's vulva, really. It's vulva. And then one other thing is below the opening of the vagina, the space between the vagina and the rectum, that's an important anatomical piece too. That's called the perineum because there are nerve endings all around there. And this is why anally and around the perineum, that's a hot zone. Okay.
Do men have perineum?
They do. They have perineums. They have perineums. So now the top of the labia minora, the top of the lips right there, that's where your clitoris lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the clitoris is buried. It has skin over it. It's called the hood. And so that's the most important structure and structures actually behind it. And we'll talk about that, you know, later.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So I think,
wow, interesting. I've never had it broken out like that visually. Mm-hmm. So it's very helpful. I'm like, I can remember that.
And I think that's where the confusion comes in with, first of all, this is one of the top questions that people wrote in was the anatomy of the difference between the minora and majora and which one's longer, which one's shorter.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, TikTok has the trend, the innie versus the outie. And I hadn't heard that until recently either.
Yep.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger,
Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I know you're not going to say normal. There's no normal. No, but exactly. I think a lot of females that have different looking innies versus outies, when they compare it to each other, mm-hmm. is there one that's more common than the other? And what would you say is an innie versus an outie?
Yeah. So the term innie and outie actually doesn't exist in medical terminology, right? Right. But so remember the labia majora, that those are the fattier areas around the menorah. The reason why a lot of women, the majority of women, have an outie, actually,
yep.
the majority of women who have an outie, and that means that the labia minora hang further down than the labia majora. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women don't have a ton of fat on their labia majora, so the labia minora skin are going to hang down over, okay?
Okay.
So when it's an innie, the labia minora are shorter, they're not as long, and they stay tucked behind the labia majora.
Interesting. Okay.
And both are prevalent.
More prevalent the outie, actually, than the innie. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought.
I know, like, there can be discoloration. Everyone has different colors, not only just anatomy, right?
Oh, I mean, different colors, yeah. different lengths, different sizes. Each one is not proportional. Yeah. They're uneven. Mm-hmm. It's really like your fingerprint. I mean, not one is the same. There's actually an artist who actually plastered women's vulvas and put them up 100 of them. And it was her art, and none of them look the same.
Wow.
It's healthy to hear that. It's right. so healthy to hear that because what people artist, need to hear that.
Do you know what artist this is? Yeah.
I'll have to look it up. I'll give you the link. But
we'll put it on the page.
Yeah.
But your comment to why women are so much wanting the innie look is because that's truly the desired porn appearance.
Oh, that was my next question, actually, is do you think porn has a causation of like why people think that way or think that they want to be looking like somebody else or not their own?
100%.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is.
It's the way we see women in every open magazine, on video, when it's porn, and on movies too.
This is kind of a strange question, but two questions, actually. So when you're a baby, also when you see little babies' vaginas, it's usually an outie, correct?
Yeah.
You don't have an innie when you're born.
It's because those babies, and that's hormonal, they're estrogenized by what they've been seeing from their mom. So their labias are actually much bigger.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Much bigger until they grow out of that. Yeah.
And the second question is, the women in porn that have those innies, do most of them like naturally have that, or is there a surgery? Like, do people get these clipped? Like,
so there is a lot of controversy in my specialty where a lot of women are asking for labial reductions based on cosmetics.
Oh, wow.
And the sad thing is there's some significant scar tissue when you have that done, and it can be chronic pain. So it's not where this should be done and you haven't thought about it, right? This should be done because in some women, they have chronic rubbing. They can't wear underwear. It's uncomfortable.
Medical reason.
Yeah. So for those reasons, I have done reductions, but not for aesthetic pleasing vulvas. I'm not. No one's really. It shouldn't be doing that.
That seems risky. Really risky. And nerve endings can get damaged and different things like that.
Right. And there can be scar tissue.
That probably builds up in areas that you don't want scar tissue on. Right. You want that clitoris to be free and open.
Yeah.
And
fly around.
And
jeez.
I mean, and I'll comment. I mean, there are other countries, foreign countries, and predominantly East Africa, where they're taking women's labias off. It's called female circumcision. It's a cultural issue, but those women are scarred. They have chronic scarring. I actually have to take those scars up in those women. But just that's an example. If it's not done right, if it's not done with multiple cuts, these women will be hurt.
Oh, that's horrible.
Right.
That's a horrible, I would never want to have to deal with that.
Right.
I have one more question before we move on from any Audis.
No, this is good.
So is it true? I don't know if this is a myth or not, but I've heard that women with innies, it's easier, or excuse me, Audis, easier to orgasm versus an innie.
Well, there's, when we talk more about orgasm, there is some truth to that, because the more surface area on your labia minora, the more blood flow and the more nerve endings. So if there's better stimulation on that tissue, that becomes more eroticized.
Okay. So there is truth to that.
There's a truth to that.
Get out of here, lady.
Yes.
Can we talk about orgasms?
Wait, should we dive in? But I have I have some fertility questions really,
these were
also largely wanted. People were very interested about these.
Yeah, no, this is good.
So first, birth control versus an IUD. Is there one that's better than the other? Or are they the exact same?
I mean, actually, they're not the same thing, but the ease of use is what makes women go from one to the other. So they're both easily reversible. And for eons, 80% of women have been using oral contraceptive pills, and they still are. But to miss a pill and to not be consistent, and plus there's estrogen and progesterone, both two hormones in pills. Now in IUDs, it's either progesterone only, called the Mirena or the Kylena. So there's some brands I'm going to throw out there. Or there's a non-hormone IUD called the Paragard IUD that's copper. So for some women who are like, I can't take estrogen, I have a medical reason not to, can't take it. And also, I don't want to potentially gain weight, my breasts hurt. They're not going to, and they're not compliant with these meds. They're not going to want to use pills or shouldn't use pills.
Okay.
So then the IUDs, those are intrauterine. They're inserted in an office procedure that I do many times a day, because I do many of them. But those IUDs stay in and they're easy to use. You put them in and you forget about them for 5 years.
That's
literally
insane.
And then at the copper one is you forget about them for 10 years and they give you contraception. Pills work to prevent ovulation. The IUDs make you ovulate. They still make you ovulate. IUDs, they just prevent egg and sperm from meeting.
Interesting. So that's why some people will say that they still have their period when they have an IUD.
Yes.
It's because you're still supposed to ovulate.
Yes.
And you still ovulate, you know, from the oral contraceptives, but it's not truly ovulation because it's just a fake period.
Actually, you don't ovulate. Okay. You should not ovulate on your pill.
It's just shedding.
You're creating a period because you're giving yourself estrogen and progesterone through the pills, and you're synthetically creating a cycle, but your ovaries are actually shut down. They don't release eggs. That's why it's contraception.
I know that I'm not going to be the only one who is wondering this. To all listeners who are like, okay, so is there benefits to having an IUD where you still are, you know, keeping your ovulation happening versus oral contraceptives where it is synthetic? Like, is there a negative to being on a synthetic type of medication that you're synthetically getting your period?
No, because the theory is with an IUD, if you're giving progesterone in the IUD, you're not getting a period on those progesterone IUDs because the menstrual lining is too thin to shed from the progesterone. Whereas in the pills, we're adding estrogen to build up the lining, and then there's progesterone in the pill to shed it. So nothing's building up. I have a lot of patients who are like, I shouldn't have it's not normal to not have a period. Well, it actually is okay to not have a period because there's nothing that's building up. There's nothing being plugged in the uterus that should come out.
Okay.
We're preventing heavy menstrual buildup.
So in ladder to that, is there any like dangerous length of time, you know, dangerous or risky length of time for being on a birth control or having an IUD for a long period of time? Like for instance, I mean, transparently, I started my period when I was in seventh grade. And I've been on birth control and I'm 24 now.
Yeah. No, there is no harmful long-term effects as long as you're healthy using it. You're not a smoker. You're not a heavy woman because those are some side effects, but there isn't. There's actually some benefits in preventing certain cancers on contraception.
Oh, wow.
So when you're not ovulating on the pills, sometimes ovarian cancer is reduced. Uterine cancer is reduced with the IUDs that are progesterone. I mean, so there's some finesse in why you should be using your contraceptive method other than contraception.
But it's all a bunch of hocus pocus hearing that like people taking birth control for an extended period of time are going to be infertile, or less likely to be fertile. It's all BS.
Yeah. And it's definitely a health craze right now. A lot of people are saying, oh, I want to be natural and go off my birth control and I want to get my period naturally. And it's this huge thing that like I've definitely debated too, but I'm like too afraid to go off my oral contraceptives because I've been on them for so long. I'm like, my body's going to be whack. I love them. I've never had an issue with them. Like, why do I feel pressured to like be natural?
No, you shouldn't be. There's so many added benefits to being on a pill outside of contraception. I mean, skin improvement, feeling like you have less anemia because you're not bleeding as much. So for women who lose blood, I mean, they lose blood with your period. 80 cc's a period.
Oh my God.
Every time you flow.
Is that why I crave burgers?
I mean,
is that true that you can crave red meat when you're having your period? Yes. Okay, because geez.
I knew it.
The other day, I'm like, I need a juicy Lucy. I'm like, I need a steak. I'm not kidding. Yeah. I'm never like,
totally.
Give me a steak.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Women are like craving iron enriched foods. I mean, they should be tanking up on iron enriched foods steak and spinach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my. So last question related to that. If a woman is experiencing a very heavy menstrual cycle and like supers are not working.
Yeah.
Like every so often, what do you suggest this person goes and does?
I think she needs to see an OBGYN physician. I'm not just touting myself, but I mean, there are specialists who can help you with your period. Women should never have periods that put them out for days.
No, there it is.
Or soaking through clothes and sitting on your couch and feeling like soaking your clothes and sitting on the couch and soaking on the couch is normal.
We know why you were you wore the red pants.
Yes.
Oh
this
yeah.
This is it.
She's a statement piece right here, baby.
I was
these are statements.
So statement. Yeah. I did laugh at the beginning. I have one more thing to say about birth control. I was chuckling a little bit because we were talking about different kinds of birth control. Mm-hmm. I'm on oral contraceptives, but I actually went on Accutane when I was really young and I didn't have my period yet, but it can cause defects. So they made me go on birth control when I was young, even though I didn't have my period yet. And I had the Depro Provera.
The shot.
Accutane?
No,
of the birth control. Sorry.
And I grew a mustache.
I do not. That does not surprise me. That is not my favorite initiative of birth controls to start in young women.
I was a female without a period and a mustache.
Oh my God. You must have been looking good.
And you didn't lose any hair. You didn't have horrible breast pain.
I had some weird ass discharge, I remember.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like it looked like I birthed like a child.
Oh,
one time.
No. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Scary, scary, scary.
Ew, I'm sorry. That's
Andrew's
disgusting,
like horrified. He's scared of her.
Andrew,
life.
How are you doing over there?
He's oh my gosh.
Welcome to the land of vaginas. That's how it goes.
Wait till orgasm.
I know. Just wait. Oh well, speaking gosh. Of, we
boys,
might as well dive right in.
Okay. Boys, we're coming for
Here
you.
We
we're
go.
Coming for you. Get ready. You better listen. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So, I was looking at the wrong section.
But back to the anatomy and the orgasms. Maybe.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So you're saying that outies are more likely to orgasm than innies, generally speaking, right?
Yeah.
It's backing it up even further. Is it normal for women to not be able to orgasm at all?
Well, I mean, the data says that 20% of women are unable to have orgasm and have not, right? Unable medically or have not. And 80% of women fake theirs.
Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
And so when we think about 80% of women faking theirs, there's a lot of emotional to that because everyone wants to satisfy their partner, and the lack of feeling like you've satisfied your partner becomes the reason for why women fake. Yeah. The 20% that don't have them, can't get them, it's a multitude of factors. It's not just emotional, physical, anatomical. It's a combo of things. And a lot of times it can just simply be that she's just not stimulated and she doesn't know her anatomy.
Oh, okay.
So the anatomy is important. There are areas, and when I talk about this, maybe this is a segue of how to think about orgasm, but I would not want people with vaginas, I'm going to be PC here.
Yeah, I love
to
it.
To think about the type of orgasm. Don't think about the types, right? Think about how can I achieve orgasm? What are the ways I can achieve orgasm? And if you think about it that way, then you break it down to the areas that can achieve orgasm for you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So
I'm following.
Are we? So you want me to? So let's delve, right?
You should. There, so,
please.
Okay. I have a few friends. Like I know people that have never been able to orgasm.
Okay. I do too.
And so if you have like ways for tips or right now, yeah. like let's hear it.
So if the most common way, if you've never orgasmed, is to go straight for the clitoris. And the reason
dive right into the spot.
That's it. I mean, the clitoris is highly innervated with nerve endings. It's got an intense blood flow. And you have to experiment. The best way is to experiment with yourself first, then with a partner. So you have to try. I mean, so masturbation is important. I say that to my females, all my patients, that they have to try, even if they feel uncomfortable about it. It's the only way to know. So with the clitoris, you have to decide, is it direct contact that makes you orgasm off of that, or is it the area around it? Because the clitoris is buried underneath a hood of tissue. You have to pull it gently back, and there it is. It feels like a firm little nubbin.
Like a nubbin.
It's like the tip, the size of your description. Pinky.
Yeah, it's tiny.
And it's firm.
Yeah, yes. It is. About the size of the pinky.
So, you know, if you want to try orgasming, try that first. And I tell my patients it's more of like this kind of a spiral touching of it first.
Figure eight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, figure eight, and then go deeper and then go above. And that's where you should try.
Yeah.
And then if you feel like you're getting intense responses from that, then move on, because there's more to getting orgasms beyond the clitoral hood. Only 20% of women orgasm with penetration.
Yeah.
Like the men,
I had
think,
heard this.
Men think that, well, I'm sorry.
Impossible.
People with penises. Yep. I'm going to be PC again.
I love that you're PC though. Yeah. We appreciate it a lot.
They think that penetration is the key to having orgasm. No. You do not orgasm with penetration. It just doesn't happen.
From a doctor, folks. Are you listening? From a doctor.
So moving on. I mean, you just interrupt, but like,
no,
so
this is what we need to learn.
Right.
People need it.
So there is the infamous G spot, but it does exist. So
oh, it does.
I've been so curious about that.
Such a taboo of like, it's not real. It's real.
It does exist. So the clitoris is, if I can, here, I'm going to have you hold it.
I'm holding the mic.
So here was the labia minora, right? Yep. Right. And then the clitoris is up where they meet, but underneath is where you pee, the urethra, right? Mm-hmm. So the urethra, and you go behind it and in the vagina, just behind it.
Not the urethra.
Don't go in there.
Ouchie.
Not in the urethra, but just behind it and just to the point of touching it, is the G spot.
So it makes you kind of have to pee.
It does. So when you're trying this on yourself or with your partner, you want to empty out your bladder, because that is going to initiate this intense feeling of wanting to pee.
Squirt.
Yeah.
Shall you say?
And you squirt from that as well.
Okay.
So it's the equivalent. The G spot is technically equivalent to the male prostate. So you have to go behind the urethra,
that's so
and
interesting.
It's a come hither.
Come hither.
Come hither.
Motion with your finger. And it's gentle. It can be hard, but that is a incredibly hot spot for women. And
hot.
It's
hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
And there are certain positions that hit it better than other positions. And anything from behind is the position to get it.
Okay. See, and I even was like, is the spot even real? Because there was so much back and forth of like,
it is.
No, it might not be real. It's real. It's not real. It's real.
I would say it's real. I would, in all the patients that I have talked with and many of the sexual specialists that I'm colleagues with and in many of the data that I know, it's a great spot to find and have orgasm.
How common is it to find that spot?
I think it's more common to find it on yourself, to be honest, before you find it with your partner, because the positions with your partners, some people don't want behind entry. I mean, and you can probably get it other than behind entry, but like, you know, when you masturbate, when you use a sex toy, when you, you know, those are okay to use to try to get to that spot.
And even like, I'm just thinking the G-spot might necessarily make you orgasm, but it feels good. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like if you orgasm typically through whatever clitoris mm-hmm. stimulation plus have something stimulating the G-spot, like it yeah. probably feels a little better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not like I'm experienced with right. that at all.
Right.
Just kidding. But my other question for you was, oh crap, it was really important. Give me a second. Continue.
Okay. Well, I had a question too about like, yeah. it's interesting that you're saying all these things of like masturbation is important. Like, you know, using toys mm-hmm. is good and it's okay.
Yeah.
Back in school, like we didn't learn about masturbation. We didn't learn about like touching yourself. We didn't learn about any of these things. Well, like, you know, and it felt very, what's the word?
Taboo.
I mean, and also like you felt guilty. Yeah. The guilt of like, oh my God, I shouldn't do this.
Dirty.
Yeah, I mean, dirty. Like, that's what it was.
And you know, 50% of women today still don't masturbate. 50.
That's can't relate.
That's yeah. That's a big yeah. number.
That's a big number. That's half the population.
Yeah, 50%. So, and I think it's because we don't talk about it as being a very normal, essential thing mm-hmm. and part of sexual health for both men and women. Like men, we talk about men masturbating a lot.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, people with penises. I mean, we just talk about the penis and that's okay to masturbate, but we never really okay a woman to for some reason. Which is you know, really odd. It's just tough.
It's completely odd.
Yeah.
Would you say that even with all these like sexual things that lube is something that you can add and mix in that might Total. Help the, yes. you know, like help it
absolutely
help achieve absolutely. Like a climax?
Yeah. And okay. for some women, I mean, and their partners, I mean, lube can hinder things. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel natural. And I mean, I think you just have to experiment and know what you like.
Do you have any lube recommendations?
I do. I mean, so we have to kind of break it down because there's water-based lubricant and there's oil-based lubricant. And then there's a whole bunch of just kind of off organic brands, right? Mm-hmm. So the general category of water-based lubricants are ones that, you know, they feel like water. They dehydrate a little bit, but they don't last long.
Okay.
So, but they don't break down the condom. So, or any, you know, external barrier protective methods. So they're great. I would say KY Jelly, Astroglide, those are great water-based lubricant brands.
Okay.
Oil-based lubricants, those are the ones that you can find on your shelf. Mm. I mean, like olive oil, coconut oil, palm oil. But the things with those is that they stain. And they stain your sheets.
Sheets. I'm like, oh no.
But they stick around longer. They break down condoms and anything as a barrier. They may taste great, right? Because it's coconut oil, whatever. Mm-hmm. But
I used to be a huge coconut oil lube girl.
Were you?
And then whenever I made popcorn, it was like an aphrodisiac, and I was like, coconut oil. Oh, so I switched it up.
God. Well, there you go.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah.
Have you heard of Uber Lube?
Oh, yeah. So Uber Lube's a great one.
Is that water-based?
Uber Lube is, I have to like, it's on my arsenal of things. It is not water-based.
Okay.
It's a synthetic oil-based, okay. but it's a great brand.
Okay, good.
It's pH balanced to women. Yeah. I recommend Uber Lube all
I love
the time.
Uber Lube.
Do you have to worry about brands being clean? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so the organic lubricants that are out there, and there's many names if you just Google organic lube, but they're paraben free, hypoallergenic, they're apparently pH balanced. So the pH balance is important because women's vaginal environment is acidic. It's a pH of like 3.5 to 4.5.
Oh, I didn't know it was 3.5 to 4.
It is. Jeez. So if you add basic lubricants and even semen is very basic, it changes the environment of your vagina. So that's why women can get they get sensitivity. They feel like they've got a vaginitis, a vaginal infection, like a yeast infection mm-hmm. or a bacterial vaginal infection. Their odor changes. So you have to really try to maintain that pH balance. I always say to women, if you don't have to use a lube, don't.
Got it.
Like if you can get wet on your own, Don't use a lube. The other thing too that I don't like is women tell me this. Their partners want to lick their hand and use that as lube
I
on them.
That.
Like
I absolutely
this.
Hate that.
Like yeah, using mm-hmm. spit as a lubricant.
That is not the right thing Mm-mm. to use. I mean, oral sex is fine. It's okay to have oral sex. Everyone, you know, has the same bacteria in your mouth with oral, but when you're using spit as lubricant, it's not, that's not going to work.
I know. But I'm like, just use the lube.
Right.
It seems so
just
like,
use the lube. Right.
Right. Do you know, I don't want to say ratchet, but it kind of seems ratchet. Is. You know what I mean?
It is. But like, it's a very common thing. Yeah.
Especially younger, the younger generation, like in college, I remember, you know, it was like, no one's just going to whip out the lube. But now I'm like, you do not lick your hand. That's disgusting.
No. Right.
Here's a squirt of this.
Right.
But I do have a question. So some women wrote in and like wondering why sometimes you do get wet. Like some women don't have issues getting wet. Other women do. Mm-hmm. What's reasoning behind being wet enough without lube versus not needing it?
Well, you know, that's different for everyone, I think. I mean, it just depends on how stimulated you are. And remember,
do you think it has to do with that, though, every time?
I don't think so, because women can get wet, or squirt is the term, without having an orgasm. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just have that happen. Mm-hmm. And women can orgasm and they can be dry.
Yeah.
So I don't know that level of how wet you are equates to how satisfied you are or how good it was. But there are women and they come to me and they're like, oh, my gosh, I think I peed my pants after I had sex. It was so profoundly wet and it was wet for days. That can happen.
For days?
That can happen. I had a woman who was like, I swear I was incontinent in urine and I peed all over. And I talked to her a lot about like, well, is this bit would been with one partner, many partners? She's like, only with this partner. Well, this partner just made her so satisfied.
Oh, my gosh.
She just had never, ever had that level of release of fluid.
That's amazing.
The body is such an interesting thing. It just releases like a fluid because it's so overwhelmed in a good way, in a positive way.
She thought she had an infection the day after because she was still wet.
That's insane.
And so she asked me to test her for everything. I'm like, you're good. You just had great sex.
Yeah, good for you.
On the other side of things, though, like I want to normalize, like I've noticed like when I'm on an anxiety medication, like a higher dose.
You're dry.
I'm drier.
Yep.
And it has nothing to do with how turned on I am. Nope. Or
it's the side effect of your med, unfortunately. And there are many medications that do that. And you just have to talk to your providers.
Including birth controls, right? Mm-hmm. Certain brands.
Exactly.
God, it's so counterintuitive sometimes. Yep. It's like, and that piece causes a lot of people anxiety if they can't, you know, feel like they're like showing that they're wet, showing that they're like enjoying it. Or it's like it's a stress that even comes on to a lot of people.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
It's back to the pH balance that you were talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to get on to pH balance, I guess, the vagina and like what causes a disruption in that. Cause like a yeast infection, is that from a pH balance?
Yeah.
And maybe even like listing the simplest things that like cause the, like a yeast infection, like you're saying, like a UTI, like those things.
I mean, the most common offender for any type of vaginal infection is overuse of products and sitting in a ton of bath water.
Oh, okay. Like a bath, taking a bath. Mm-hmm.
So
or a hot tub, I guess.
So think of all the products that women want to use because they feel like they have to smell good, that they have to clean their vaginas, that they have to prep it for something, right? That's a ton of soap. That's a ton of really deleterious, you know, items on your vagina and vulva. Also, think about the companies that make a ton of money on women's hygiene products and you don't really need it.
Summer Eve.
Yes.
Summer's Eve. What's the other one? There's one more that's really big. Vagisil?
Vagisil. I mean, any douche, like honestly, our moms, well, my mom, not so much yours, but the generation of douching and trying to put a vinegar-based product into the vagina to try to clean it out was very destructive to women, and it still exists out there. So anything that is too much for the vagina and the vulva will create infections. I'll touch upon the whole bathwater bit, but women love their baths. They love their baths.
They just love
them. They love
those,
them.
I'm not sure
moments.
Why.
They can't stop. They won't stop. They love their baths.
I mean, and I'm not going to lie. I'm
daily.
A big,
and it's okay.
I'm a bath girl.
But here's the deal.
No, not really.
Oh.
Maybe once a week.
But bath bombs, soaps, detergents, I could go on the list, but what you put in your bath water goes up into your vagina.
It's not good for it.
And it sits there and it changes everything. So think about too, I mean, pools, hot tubs, lake water, right? We're Minnesotans.
Uh-oh.
And there is a lot of bacteria in lakes currently, and that changes the pH balance.
Oh God, I'm having a panic.
I know.
I'm like in the lake water probably more than anybody in this apartment.
So
yeah.
What do we do?
Yeah. What's the best way to combat.
I mean, the best thing is to, if you feel symptomatic, that the tendency is like, I'm just going to treat it ASAP and go over the counter and grab some Monistat and shove it into the vagina as a suppository. I mean, think about maybe stepping back and going, okay, give it a day or two, because you're things will self-correct over time. Like your body, your vagina, and your vulva, they do try to rebuild themselves with healthier bacteria, and that should over time disappear. But if it smells bad, if it's thick and curdly like cottage cheese, that's yeast. And if it smells bad and fishy, it's normally bacterial vaginosis. Mm. And those things require medications from your physician, right? Mm-hmm. But the more that you're treating over the counter and it may be not the right thing you're treating, the more resistant it becomes to the next time you're trying to treat yourself.
Okay.
So, try to wait a little bit, but also see a provider if it gets really bad.
If it's getting bad.
That's really helpful.
It is very helpful.
Right.
Question for you. Is it important to pee after having sex in order to release like bacteria?
Yeah, what is that
about? I
heard
that random thing and there was a question that came in about it and I was like, huh, I don't know.
I would say yes, because, you know, remember the urethra is very, very close in proximity to the vagina, the mm-hmm. vaginal opening. And with anything that you're doing with intercourse, bacteria comes right into the urethra and can ascend into the bladder and create a UTI.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
There's the science.
Okay. Yeah, there's the UTI thing. So
got it.
So there are a lot of women who come into me and say, I am having a urinary tract infection every time I have sex, like every time. I need antibiotics every time I have sex. Well,
wow.
That can be a reason. Their urethra and the bladder are right there approximating the vagina and it gets bacteria. So I think it is a good idea to pee after sex.
Releases that.
Right.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
So someone wrote this in and I'm curious too. They said, why do certain partners make me itchy and others do not? Is it possible to be sensitive to certain people?
Yes. You know, it's unlikely. Okay. There is something called hypersensitivity to sperm, just sperm to your partner. It's extremely rare that were to occur, that you truly are just allergic to your partner's sperm. But there's a lot that happens with partners in general, and lubrication, and that you're using toys, that you're using positions that you're using that can cause friction, burning, irritation. So those are the things that you may be more sensitive to with your partner if you're using a certain lube, a certain condom, if there's a certain position that's causing irritation. It's not so much the partner.
Okay.
It's more like, what's going on.
Yeah, it's so all it's the other like things.
Some sperm have a higher acidity level than others.
No.
So it makes you more prone to yeast infection.
No.
And
the true, like, it's called semen plasma sensitivity. That is extremely rare.
Okay.
Like, these are women who would have like an anaphylactic reaction and a rash.
Oh wow!
Like
that'd be so horrible.
Okay. So
you'd know. Oh god.
Okay.
Not on the hoo-ha.
Does your vagina just like close up and swell?
I don't think that, but I've not ever seen that. But it's true, like burning,
ouch.
Like swelling, maybe.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh
wow! Rare.
Ouchie!
What would you recommend if someone does want to clean their vagina?
Yeah, like how do you keep it healthy?
So what I say is, all the body soap that you're using on your skin, you know, the suds, just let that run off of you and run on the labia. So your labia, the minora majora, the space between them, that accumulates oil. It's skin. The mm-hmm. skin makes oil. So if you looked at your labia, and I highly recommend women, they need to look at your labia.
I just told Sid to look in the mirror.
I'm like, I don't look down there often, but I will.
You do.
I will. I promise.
You have to look. You have to look. So there is oil that accumulates between the minora and majora, and that has to be gently rubbed off. So it doesn't have to be rubbed off with soapy suds. It has to be with your finger and gently rubbed off with just water. Mm-hmm. And then patted dry. Like, I have women from 10, 20, 30 years ago who still use like a face towel and they're scrubbing between the labia and majority. They do not need scrubbing.
Are we?
No loofah. That's
just your hand and
no
water.
Loofah down there. Yeah,
no, no loofah. I've had loofah stories. No loofah.
Wait, tell us a loofah story.
Well, I had a woman who was constantly abusing loofahs and the skin was so abraded. It was like,
like criminy.
Fissures and like just raw and it doesn't need that.
No, honey, gentle. No. Give it a kiss because that's just, you don't need a loofah down there.
You do not.
Okay,
loofah.
So you're saying no loofah. Yeah, literally. No go to loofah, but no go to like Summer's Eve.
No go.
What is it called? Vagisil. Like none of those.
And you know, all the wipes that you're putting on your bottom, even after a bowel movement, all of the wipes when you pee, I mean, I have patients who put diaper wipes in their purse. Don't use those.
For your bun hole?
None of it.
Oh, no. None of it. I like those. They're clean.
And I know you want to clean, but the other thing is just shower or water.
Oh, yeah, water. Or just use water.
Or just a paper towel with water. Don't put extra products on your...
Because, like, the thing to do now is, like, you have the single wipes just in your bag.
Don't do
and
that.
And you're just, like, a quick little...
Not even.
No.
Nope.
You don't need that.
All right.
But if you're using a wet wipe for your butt, for your butt?
To wash. Yeah. I mean, if you want to wipe your anus, yes.
Okay.
Your rectum.
Okay.
With
that's,
a bowel
I'm
movement.
Making sure I know for myself, you guys. This is for you, but this is also for me, okay?
You can do
I'm
that.
I'm a clean freak, all right?
I mean, you can do that. But remember, that's a self... respective area. I mean, there's bacteria that live there that need to live there to prevent infections. And if you're doing that, you're potentially putting yourself at risk for yeast infection around your anus. And I've seen that too.
Whoa, that's insane. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So less is best.
Less is best.
Less is best.
Okay. Because I had heard the other like myth, the other soap myth was the, like, I think it's called the Dove Beauty Bar because it's not a soap. It's a
It's for your labia. Yeah. None of that. All these products, think of how much money is generated from feminine hygiene products.
It's a whole aisle.
Yeah.
Amazing. It is. And I go visit that aisle periodically because I need to keep up to date and go, what is in this aisle? And do you know what I just found?
What?
I just mentioned this to somebody I found recently and I was so amazed. They have the best line at Target of vibrators.
I actually, you're so funny you mentioned this. I was looking at them the other day.
I have it.
Little bullets.
Yes.
I have it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have owned a handful. Okay.
Yes.
Because I've gotten them from gifts from like, you know, wedding parties and I've purchased a few to try. I kid you not. It was the best $15 I've ever spent my entire
life. And you get a red card discount. And I am just impressed because the whole line right now, and many stores are doing this, but Target specifically, because I, again, was like, what's in this aisle? I got to keep myself up to date.
Yep.
The brand that is Plus One, the company that makes it, this company, I won't throw out names, but it is a medically very well-known sponsored by many an OBGYN and sexual therapist.
Throw out the name. It's a good thing.
It is Clio, C-L-I-O is the company.
Clio.
But they make...
Sponsor us.
They make Plus One, the vibrator line that has many option sizes. Target carries it.
I'm telling you, my friend told me about it and it is insanity.
It's amazing. But here's the funny thing. As I'm going through this aisle, Plus One and all of the sizes are not under lock and key. So thank God, because you don't want
to
be like,
I had
hey,
to.
Can I have an extra?
No, I got lock and key.
Unlock?
I had to do that.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
I would be mortified.
On my life, I did.
If I had to be like, in aisle one, can you unlock this for me?
I swear on my life, it was a man who had to hand it to me. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, but here's.
And there was a line. There was a line. And we were all like.
There's a line for vibrators?
There were three people there that wanted the same thing. We were all like, oh yeah, I love that one. Thank you, bye. ran.
The brand at Target that is under lock and key, at least my brand, is the Trojan brand. Because of course it's Trojan, all right? But here's the Trojan brand. It's this real big. It's real big. The bullet is like a real.
You're like
that
ain't no bullet.
And I'm like, that is not the one I want.
No.
But it's under lock and key, just so
of course
you know
it
that
is.
Brand.
Probably
well,
because
bye-bye
a probably because a male runs that company.
Trojan. Yeah, it's silly. But
male
silly.
Dominated.
But the other brands, please look.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. That's so
helpful.
That
that's
helpful.
Y'all go to Target.
Target.
You guys, I'm
red
not kidding
card.
You. Hit it up. Yeah. Also, my last, I had one final question about a thing that you put in quite often, tampons.
Yes.
Oh, that's what I was That was,
too. Was that what you were going to bring up?
Yes.
Do you want to ask, do you remember what the exact question was?
Well, the question was, when you're on your period, are there certain brands, whether that be tampons or a
menstrual
diva,
cup?
Yeah, diva cup. Yeah. Like, what would you recommend is for our vaginas when we're on our periods? Like, what's healthiest for it, I guess?
You know, I mean, that's another area of manufacturing that people have capitalized on. I mean,
that's why I'm confused. There's so much. Because
the Kotex Click has, they bleach their cotton.
Yeah, it's a really hard industry to tackle. Ugh. And I think there are many organic brands that are safe. But the other issue with some of the organic brands is the applicators hurt. Like, have you, women who have tried an applicator that's a cardboard
heck no
absolutely
man.
Not.
It is the worst, and the thing
I need
is,
lube to put a damn tampon in,
and you need three hands because it doesn't deploy.
It's the worst feeling.
Andrew,
I'm cringing right now. Andrew's like, what in the hell are you guys talking about?
No, but so I have to be honest with a lot of my patients, as much as we want to be environmentally safe, it's uncomfortable to put in a cardboard disposable. Yeah. It's going to, you know, disintegrate in our environment. But the plastic ones, until someone comes up with something better, is tapered and it's smooth and it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, and I have, you know, menstruating young girls who want at age 11, 12, who want to try tampons out. And it takes one bad tampon. You know this, right?
Oh, yeah.
It takes
my
one bad tampon insert to never go to a tampon ever.
Ever again.
Until age 21. And I'm telling you, I mean.
Yeah, I relate to that.
I relate hard. We were talking about it before you came too. And we were like, yeah, heck no.
Right.
But you do not have to be afraid of the like bleach and the like, I mean, because, you know, they're not, what is it? They're not FDA approved or something like that.
I would just be mindful of less product in the cotton or in the absorbent material.
Okay.
And make sure it doesn't disintegrate. I have had to fish out many a retained tampon in my life.
Horrifying. That's a big fear.
One time I thought there was one in there because I was at a wedding.
Oh.
And then had a boyfriend at the time, thought maybe it was still in there.
Yeah.
And I like freaked out, went to the OBGYN, and she's like, no, nothing's in there. But it's happened to a few of my friends where it's like it just gets pushed up in there, and I'm like,
I had a friend who got toxic shock from it, and she almost passed away.
Oh yeah.
She almost died. You could die from toxic shock. She only had it in for 24 hours. Only, though, I know that's a long time, but I'm just saying.
It's rare to have that today, toxic shock, but it has happened. Historically, in the past, it has happened. But I think the more common thing is women put it in and they just forget that they have it in.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, they have sex and they forget that it's in.
Yeah.
And it can happen because the strings do get tucked up. And I don't blame anyone for forgetting.
Yeah.
But to get them out, it's no bueno.
No bueno process. Uh-uh.
It's real.
No.
Is it okay to sleep with tampons in?
Or it is. Okay. I would say, but it just, if your flow is so heavy, I would try to just not have that tampon saturated with blood. Yeah. I think women who are like light tampon users, yeah, definitely. But heavy blood soaking through, probably not.
Not good for you, probably, to be sitting in there.
And to talk one thing about tampons, I have a lot of women who use tampons because they don't want to have discharge.
Mm,
okay.
Yeah.
So what?
They want
like
to
every day, you mean?
Yes. So they don't want to leak on anything. So they use a tampon to just hold discharge. That's not a good thing, right? Yeah. Women are supposed to make discharge. They're supposed to have it. It's supposed to be on your underwear. It is not something dirty, and if it doesn't bother you, it doesn't smell, it doesn't again itch, doesn't irritate, discharge is there. Like if you come to your OBGYN physician, you're like, I don't like my discharge and I don't want it.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's healthy.
It's cleaning itself.
It's keeping it healthy.
Yeah.
It's an organ. It's an open organ on our body.
Yeah.
That's a really important thing to normalize. Discharge.
It is. It's very
normal. Everyone is so ashamed of that. Like
it's an ashaming feeling.
Yeah. Your underwear's on the ground all of a sudden. Like, you quick
hide
flip
it
over.
I know. No. Or that you literally are just in a bathroom and we've all been this. We're sat on the toilet. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
You're like, what the heck?
It's a discharge.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. And the other thing I have to just say is you don't have to wear underwear.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I got really excited there.
This is my deal. It's like it devastates me when women are like, I wear underwear with everything. And then when we're trying to cut down infections, The reason why you have some infections is there's so much friction. There's so much rubbing. You're not having an underwear-free moment in your entire life. Underwear-free moment.
I love that.
Like, you have to.
You have to let it breathe.
You do. At nighttime, I say don't wear any. Yeah. If you have clothes that have a built-in triangle, don't wear any. Mm-hmm. When we work out, there are many workout clothes that you do not need to wear underwear. Yeah. And think about
Oh, you're saying if it has a built-in triangle, you correct. Don't need to wear underwear. Yes, yes.
Correct. Okay. And like, you know, women want to wear their G-strings and their thongs, but they're abrasive and they're tight. And I have seen serious thong injuries.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I had a thong cut my butt once.
Yes.
It cut my butt.
I mean,
I'll tell that. I'll say it out loud. Loud and proud, baby. Loud and proud.
There are women who have had cuts that become abscesses that then become things we have to open up. Like, there are.
I'm not a medical professional. I am like me over here. I'm like, she fainted. Where were we?
So that's my plug.
I love that. I love
that plug. That is my important piece about underwear doesn't have to happen all the time.
Hashtag have an underwear free moment.
Have an underwear free moment.
Thank you.
On a bumper sticker. Put it on your car. Let's make one.
Let's do it. I think this is it's a new thing.
It is sure. Going to be a new thing.
You have merchandise. So there you boom. Go.
Boom. I love MeUndies. Have you heard of MeUndies?
I haven't heard of them.
They're like, you can sleep in them. They're more like boy short style, okay. But you don't wear underwear with them. And I sleep in them every night.
Awesome. Sounds so comfy. Yeah. I mean,
I wear boxers to bed sometimes.
I mean, I think that's okay. Anything, boxers. I mean, anything that's loose, but you don't have to wear underwear. Yeah. And the other thing that women feel like that if they don't have underwear and they're partnered, that that's an excuse to just have sex. It's not an excuse. If you don't have underwear, don't equate that to like time to have sex. It's your body.
You're just breathing.
You are breathing.
Unless you want to have sex.
Unless you want to, then go.
Bring it in there.
Go, queen.
Exactly.
Or king or whoever you are.
I love it.
Are you taking new patients right now?
I am.
I honestly am like, okay, well, I need a new doctor. New
patients. Before we started this intro, we were like, okay, I can't have an OBGYN that I know. And now that Sarah, and I was like, now that Sarah's coming on, now I won't be able to go see her. But honestly, now that I'm talking with you, I feel so comfortable.
I do too.
Give me a pap smear, baby.
I know.
You're easy to be around. Like I've had some, not horror stories, but horror pap smears where they like come in, they're like, hey, legs up on the table. And they do the crank. Yeah, guys, if you're listening or unless we lost you, they crank it. They crank it open.
It's called a speculum.
And it's not enjoyable. Crank.
Yes.
I call it a crank because I was so horrified that one time. But anyway, you really are so comfortable to be around. And I'm like, I might come see you.
But here's what I'll say. And everyone will have a similar story. It does not, again, just like the tampon, it doesn't take more than one bad experience with the provider in OBGYN or any other provider in family medicine who's doing pelvic exams for you to never come back and to feel threatened and to feel like no one cares about you and to feel demeaned. And that's not what this relationship is about.
No.
I mean, I may, and you will be surprised after maybe this airs, but there are many people that you know that have probably have come seen me before this even has come out.
Interesting.
Like, in your age group, I just think that time of how you've been doing medicine is known to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had a few nice awards and it's been that's cool. Impressive. It's been cool to just be out in the community for this long.
Yeah. You're very impressive. Oh, when I read her bio, we'll share it too, because it's amazing, but you're very impressive. She's a big time doctor. Like, I mean it, all doctors are big time.
And thank but, like, you this is, for coming on our podcast. Like, we're honored to have, to be sitting honored. Here with you. Oh, so thank seriously. You so much.
For sure. It's like, been so much fun for me.
This was the most informative.
Oh my God. You know how people are going to love this episode.
And the other thing is there's so much we haven't touched.
I know. We might have to do a round two.
I think
we'll likely have to do another.
There's so much.
I know. We're not even close.
What am I even doing?
We do have a few more things we have to do. So we have listeners write in a funny moment. We also have listeners write in straight candid advice. So they want advice from us.
Yeah.
But this one is actually related to your expertise. Let's do straight candid advice first.
Oh, you want to do? Okay, perfect.
So this is an advice question that someone wrote in for you to answer for us.
So this person, I summarized it because it was a lengthier story and we sometimes do that.
Yeah.
So this person had pain during sex. She said she was 20 years old. She doesn't know why she experiences painful sex. It has been holding her back from starting her relationships and getting intimate with a sex interest. Is there a certain reason why intercourse can be painful? And is this normal?
Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, there are many reasons for why pain could be painful. There can be true anatomical reasons. One is a woman can have you know, spasm of the muscles around the vaginal opening, and that's a physiological thing called vaginismus. It could be just plain just dryness. It can be trauma. It could be just, you know, your partner going too deep, too hard. I mean, again, it takes one bad experience for you to desensitize and never want to go back there again.
Yeah.
So right. There's a lot of weeding out of that and to trying to figure out what is the next step for her. But she should be open about it and with the provider and talk about, you know, the specifics of it. There's not a great answer to that because there's a lot of causes for pain.
There's a lot of if or this or that or the other thing depending on something. So your advice would be she just needs to go in to see us, somebody, a professional.
Yeah, there can
speak
be
privately.
Yeah, and there can be some anatomical causes. It can
which
truly
makes sense.
Yeah,
unless you're saying like maybe it's like her rejecting it because she's not relaxed and she's not trustworthy of the other person that's there with her.
Depending on an experience you maybe have had or something horrible
and
like that.
And remember, it cycles, right? Because that one experience goes to the next partner and she's going to want to have an aversion and never go back to another partner again.
Isn't there like some sort of behavioral therapy? What's it called?
Yeah, there's a desensitization. It is sexual behavioral therapy to desensitize and to try to understand what is creating that response and to disassociate from that. There's a lot of modalities to sex therapy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a cool topic. Sex
vaginal therapy. Yeah,
it is.
That's amazing.
Okay, we also have straight canon moments. So
here
People write in some fun stuff.
Real ass people, funny ass stories. Let's go.
Love it. Welcome to Straight Canon Stories presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Every week, you guys write in and tell us your craziest stories that need to be shared. We reminisce on these crazy candid stories from the past, just as Bud Light Seltzer will have you reminiscing on their new tie-dye variety pack and nostalgic flavors available now for limited time. So here we are sharing your experiences to make mistakes more laughable, moments more relatable, and candidness more common. I was going to share one, but it's not as good as one I literally just thought of 10 seconds ago. And I think you've heard this story before. It's actually me.
It's not anonymous.
It's not anonymous.
This is a hashtag straight candid moment from Sophie.
From Sophie.
Here we go.
From middle school.
Oh, okay. We're going to go way back.
Okay. So this, honestly, there's no advice. It's just for y'all to sit and listen. So when I was little, I was in eighth grade social studies class. Do you remember this now?
Mm-hmm. I know what it is.
Do you think this is a good one to
tell?
Yes. So I was sitting there. We're all goofing off. I think we were working on some project or something. And my tongue hit the roof of my mouth. And, you know, spit came out my mouth. So I gleeked. You know what gleeking is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like your tongue hits the roof of your mouth and all of a sudden like spit flies out your mouth. And all of a sudden I forgot that word. Like I didn't know the word gleeked. So I yelled in front of the entire class and I said, "Oh my God, I just queefed." In eighth grade, and like the rest of the year I was like the queef girl.
Yeah.
So.
In eighth grade though, that's like a pretty
it was brutal.
Big year.
But luckily, like I was so like out there, like people were like, Sylvie, and I just laughed at myself. But
I told the
entire class, and the social studies teacher was like, "What?" And I'm like, "I queefed." And I'm like, "Wait, is that not the right word?"
Oh my God. Every time I think about it, I think back to when I'm in eighth grade and I'm like, "What the?" Like, if someone said that, I'd be like,
"Ugh." You'd be like, "Nice."
Right.
Horrified.
Right. I'm sure no one knew what that was at the time.
Oh no, everyone besides me. Believe me.
Is queefing normal?
Yeah. I mean, the vagina is. Think of the vagina as a tunnel.
Yeah.
And at the end of the tunnel is another anatomical structure called the cervix. But there's air. Mm-hmm. And air creates sound. And motion with sound in the vagina happens. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Totally normal.
Totally normal.
Totally normal.
Also normal probably
like, oh my God.
During or after sex.
Yes. That's okay.
Very.
Totally normal. And I think a lot of women equate that sensation or sound to being loose. Like a vagina that's loose.
I've heard that before.
Not true.
Not.
Has nothing to do with that.
No.
Queefing has nothing to do with being loose.
No.
Wow. I feel like, honestly, God, you're knocking every like non-believing or like belief that we had that were like kind of hokey pokey.
We've covered it all. We've gone from queefing to lubes to orgasms to innies
anatomy?
To outies.
We haven't. We've just kind of graced the surface of many of those. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, a few housekeeping things before we get the heck out of here. Sarah, you have been amazing, but we'll touch on that in a second. We have a boat episode coming up, you guys. If you're listening, it's going to be coming on Sunday. We're heading out around 2 p.m. now instead of a little earlier in the morning, so the lake is going to die down a little bit more, but we're going live. Bud Light's bringing us out on the lake, and they're going to take us around. We're going to do an episode. If you haven't heard back from us, if you're coming on the boat yet, you please just be patient. We're deciding this week.
Yes, be patient. We'll let you know by Friday night, if you're listening Thursday, who's coming on the boat. Also, where can we tell people if they're driving their own boat to meet us?
I would say meet us in...
Can we just go to Big Island? Let's go to Big Island.
Yeah, let's go to Big Island. Okay. We'll go meet us at Big Island. We'll be at Big Island. I feel like that's you can Google it and you can find that spot if you can get there by boat. If you can't get there by boat and you still want to say hi to us and see us, please just send us a message. We'll make sure to stop by either like the Excelsior Dock or the YZ Dock or whatever it is that makes it easy. If you're not in Minnesota, I'm so sorry, but don't worry. We'll have videography footage for you to watch this episode as a bonus episode from Bud Light. Thank you, Bud Light, for bringing us out there. Merch update. We are deciding on an official hoodie this week. You heard me right. We should have them done today, which means that you could have one in your hands within a few weeks. So get fucking litty titty.
Last but not least, Andrew, we appreciate you sitting through this. Did you learn some stuff?
Yes.
I think he did too.
I think he's still smiling.
Yeah. He is smiling ear to ear.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you're here. So thanks, Back Pocket Productions, for doing everything regarding our social and our audio. So thank you.
And it felt fitting just because we're going on the lake this weekend. We got to talk about Bud Light for a second. Bud Light Seltzer launched a limited edition retro summer tie-dye variety pack. Oh, baby. Yeah. Half your listeners have probably already tried it. If you haven't, you better run and get to that. What is it? Total Wine. I was going to say, where do they sell them? They're bomb. They're 5%. They're a little less carbonated than the usual.
Serdix right by my house has them now too.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Andrew ran into each other at the Serdix liquor store. He was buying some Bud Light. I was buying some Bud Light. We're like, yo, bro, what's up, man? Yep. Enjoy that seltzer. I don't know where that came from.
Whatever. I don't know what the accent was, but I absolutely loved it. I can't with that. Bud Light did send us a crap ton of these, so we will have them. We'll toss them out. If you're 21 years of age and you got a good straight candidate moment, you'll get one from us. Don't worry. You got to show your little tiny ID on Sunday. But come find us. And remember, Blue Raspberry is bomb, but they also got Cherry Limeade and Summer Ice, available only for a limited time this summer. So hurry it up. Get your booty to the store. Get it delivered to your door if you would rather at budlight.com/delivery. Okay.
Okay.
Sarah, thank you so much for being here. Just know that you have two already more patients that are going to be coming and seeing you. Yeah,
honestly, totally. If you're in network with my health insurance, I might be hitting you up.
I am sure health I'm partners. In network. Yeah, it was a pleasure. And it's not hard to find me. And the last name's kind of hard to pronounce. But yeah, it's easy to find me.
How do we find you?
It's it's Sarah Monet, and it's at OakdaleOBGYN.com. So Oakdale's one word, OBGYN. All one, and then .com. But it is not in Oakdale, Minnesota. It's literally, we service Plymouth, Maple Grove, and Blaine, so west.
Okay, a little bit west, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we get a ton of women in this area. I mean, it's just because we've been around for a long time.
For a while. And what is your Instagram handle, just in case? Because I know you post on there sometimes.
It is... S Mane, oh my God, I gotta look that up.
Just in case somebody had like a one-off question from this episode. You're fine. No, don't worry.
I gotta look it up.
People be informed and have it just in case they need it.
Yeah.
Well, finding that,
yeah, totally.
Is there anything that you want to leave, like anything else that wasn't said that we haven't covered?
Oh my gosh, I just think, don't be afraid to vocalize what you want. That's the thing. Like if I take that anywhere, it's what you want with your doctor and what you want with your medical care, what you want with your partner during sex, just understand that, communicate. And the other thing is, know your body. Like, it's amazing how women haven't looked, or they haven't touched, or they haven't really known themselves. Men too. It's amazing how little partners know about each other anatomically and physically. So just know that.
Yeah.
But so my handle is it's SMANNEHDOC. So SMANNEHDOC.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for leaving us with that. God. Thank you for being here. We're likely gonna have to have her on again because there's so much more that was just diving into the top. If you made it and you're a male or have a penis, congrats, you've done it.
Congrats.
You also got an A and a cookie. Sarah, yes. Thank you for being here. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Oh,
we had
gosh,
a blast.
What a fun time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey.
Okay, so we actually are not gone. We have to pop right back in because Sophie just remembered something we need to talk about.
There was a pressing question. You had pressing.
I had a pressing question that I was trying to think of in the middle of the episode and I blanked on it. Okay, so if you've listened to previous episodes of Straight Candid, y'all know I've had corgasms before at the gym. Please tell me, how is this possible? And is it actually an orgasm? Because it feels like one.
It is. It is. They exist. And so there's a couple ways to get to that. I mean, one is anything that engages your core, because that engages your pelvic floor. So any contraction that comes from the core into the pelvic floor. So pelvic thrusts, bridges.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mine's from the knee where you lift your knees
knee
up.
Drive.
Knee drives.
Yeah. And the reason why that is because you're rubbing your clitoris. What? There are different ways as you're moving your legs. There is a lot of movement between your shorts and your core is engaged and your pelvic floor is engaged. So there are many of those core pelvic floor, even yoga, simple held in yoga movements that are holding up your core and like you're doing a Kegel, if men don't know that, but it's like pulling in all those muscles on the pelvic floor. That creates a lot of stimulus.
It's just so interesting to me because it's not like I'm like someone who's just like, oh, it's really easy for me to reach orgasm. Like it's actually not when I'm in the bedroom. Like it takes some work.
Right.
But all of a sudden I can do it every single time I do a certain move at the gym.
That's so odd.
I mean, there are people, if you look closely, because we can work out together pretty close. There are people who probably are having a little bit of an erection or clitoral stim in the gym.
I've heard dudes that also have had.
Oh, for sure. For
sure. I got one from being exhausted after a workout and I laid down and I went to reach for my side table, like really awkwardly using my core. And I turned and was grabbing something and I was like, what the? And I'm like, whoa. So I went and grabbed it again because I was like, what the hell was that?
Bike seats on the Peloton, a rower machine. Anything that is right there is huge for that. Yeah, it exists.
So it's a thing.
Last week at the gym, I was there and I texted in all caps.
Oh my God, you're going to.
You did.
You're like, wait, because my boss, usually I face the wall when I do this certain exercise so no one can see me, but it does work my core. Like it works my core. And my eyes were closed. My music was blasting. I opened my eyes. Someone I work with standing right in front of me, just eye contact, middle of my corgasm.
She was literally having a corgasm as someone was looking at her.
I mean, it happens.
And it's normal. It's human.
It's normal.
She's like, so crazy.
It is normal.
It's a thing. Believe me, we have proof.
We had to say it. We had to come back on.
Okay, bye.
All right, now we're actually
leaving. Okay, check it out.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye-bye now.
Hey. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.